Welcome. May we enter this place with hearts open to encounter the neighbor, equipped to embrace the stranger with compassion, and sustained by hope as we embark on another leg of the journey. May God keep us in the love we have experienced together so that in our hearts there will be no separation. Welcome, welcome. With great joy, we say welcome. On the dusty road, water refreshes, and here is water in abundance. Here is Lake Chelan and Railroad Creek. Here is the gushing rock and the flowering desert. Here, the spirit renews the face of the earth. Travelers, receive these welcoming waters. For you, baptized into death and resurrection, for you, carrying the ocean in your veins, for all who have encountered, embraced, and now embark, let these waters make us one. And I invite you to stand. Of compassion, you join us on the journey. Refresh us with your word that we might serve the world, bandaging wounds and mending broken hearts in the spirit of our traveling companion, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
A reading from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might.
Amen. I invite you to rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." You may be seated. Once upon a time, a lawyer came to Jesus to test him. Now, maybe he was trying to trip Jesus up or trap him, as some of his colleagues had done. Maybe he was trying to get Jesus in trouble. But if we apply Martin Luther's explanation to the Eighth Commandment, explaining the lawyer's questions in the kindest possible way, attributing to him the best of intentions, we may imagine that the lawyer was maybe just putting him to the test to see what he was made of, to see if Jesus was as special as they said he was. He might have even been sincere, seeking an answer to that million-dollar existential question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, being Jesus, answered his question with a question: "What is written in the Torah?" Now, that lawyer gave an A-plus answer from the prayer he had heard and learned as a little boy, the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." And for extra credit, the Levite even quoted from Leviticus, adding that second great commandment, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You shall love God, you shall love your neighbor. That is what is written in Torah. That is God's charge to the lawyer and to you and to me. Love God, love neighbor. Now, is this simple or complex? Is it good news or bad? Ridiculously easy or actually impossible? You choose. Jesus asked him what was written in Torah, and the lawyer responded correctly, verbatim. He had all sorts of gold stars on his Sabbath school chart for memory work. But when Jesus asked him what is written in the Torah, but what do you read there, that's a different question. He was not testing rote memorization, but instead understanding. What do you read there? How do you understand it? Here is where the lawyer revealed the limits of his brilliance. The law had been written, and now he was being asked to interpret it. What does it mean to love God with everything we've got? What does it mean to love our neighbors? And while we're on that topic, who exactly is our neighbor anyway? This lawyer had always earned an A+ in theology class. But on this day, he was petitioning to take his discipleship class pass-fail. And if he couldn't take his discipleship class pass-fail, he hoped then that at least he could convince Jesus to grade it on the curve so that he could get by just by being a little bit better than his classmates. A C- would do for loving your neighbor class, he thought. The lawyer wanted to know what was the bare minimum he needed to do to inherit eternal life, whatever that means, and that involved some precise legal definitions. If he could write some rule about who his neighbor was, then he would know for sure who his neighbor wasn't and who he could neglect or abuse or despise and still be on the good side of the law. There have to be rules, right? That's how the law works. The lawyer knew what words were written, but not how to apply them. He knew how to recite the Shema prayer by heart, but he didn't have the Shema in his heart. God had told his ancestors in the wilderness that God's word was very near, hovering above their tongues and circling around their hearts, but a miss is as good as a mile. That lawyer knew what was written, but not what it meant. And so Jesus shared a story that knocked the scrolls of that law right out of that lawyer's hands. He showed him that he had been asking the wrong question all along. The lawyer's question was based on a false premise of self-justification. You can't get eternal life by keeping the law because you can't keep the law. The lawyer wanted to justify himself by keeping the law, but the law does not justify. It only judges and condemns. Regardless, the lawyer's question was a good one. Who is my neighbor? Something we need to hear and ponder and figure out for ourselves and define again today. And who is not my neighbor? So Jesus told a story. A traveling priest came by and said that there is a naked, bloody, half-dead man lying in a ditch. What an ugly sight. It ruined my day. I turned away and crossed the road and averted my eyes. I didn't want to see it. But I can't unsee what I've seen. He was moaning, but you know, he didn't specifically ask me for help, and I'm glad for that. So I didn't have to say no to him because I might feel guilty. And he was bloody, after all, and you know I didn't have my latex gloves with me, and he might have had hepatitis or HIV or something even worse. His blood would have made me unclean, and I need to stay clean. To perform my religious duties up at the temple in Jerusalem, there are sacrificial sheep and oxen waiting for my knife. And God, well, God is there too, waiting for my prayers, and we can't keep God waiting. And if anyone ever makes me choose between my religion and my neighbor, well, I'll choose my religion every time because my religion is the most important thing in the world. A traveling Levite came by and said to himself, there's a naked, bloody, half-dead man lying in that ditch. What an ugly sight. It ruined my day. I turned away and crossed the road and averted my eyes. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to see him. But I can't unsee what I've seen. That picture will haunt me forever. I felt sorry for him, but then I asked myself, what must he have done to deserve this? Because our religion teaches that God rewards the righteous and punishes the wicked. Good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people, don't you know? He must have done something horrible to get roughed up like this. Why then would I go against my religion and help someone, even a neighbor, if God had allowed him to be punished in this way? But I found my eyes drawn back to him against my will. He looked straight at me and seemed to whisper, "Help." Or maybe not, I don't really remember. I don't want to remember because I am afraid. The people who did this to him might still be hanging around, and what might happen to me if I stop to help him? A traveling Samaritan came by and said to himself, "There's a naked, bloody, half-dead man lying in a ditch. What a tragic sight." I wanted to turn away and cross the road and avert my eyes. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to see him, but I felt my guts melting inside of me. Well, that's the way Luke wrote my story in Greek, splagnidzomai. And doesn't that just sound like melting guts? Although in English, you say ever so much more delicately that my heart was filled with compassion. I couldn't cross the road and run away as much as I would have liked to. He was such a bloody mess, I couldn't even see if he was circumcised or not, to tell if he was one of those super religious, gotta keep the letter of the law Jewish guys, or a brother Samaritan, or he could have been a Roman for all I know. Bodies look pretty much the same once you take the clothes away, you know? He could have been a sinner. Maybe he deserved that beating. I don't know. I only knew that my guts were melting and my heart was breaking and my tears wouldn't stop coming. The thought did cross my mind that maybe he wasn't wounded at all. Maybe he had been planted there by a band of robbers as bait, and they were going to ambush whoever was foolish enough to play the Good Samaritan on this bandit-ridden byway. I did wonder just for a second what might happen to me if I stopped to help him. But then I thought, what might happen to him if I don't stop to help him? You know, the Jews aren't the only ones who follow the Torah. We Samaritans do too. I know those commandments about loving God and loving my neighbor. And I also know that God went even further, commanding us to love the stranger and the alien and the enemy and the foreigner. And I couldn't get those words, love your neighbor, out of my churning guts. I couldn't stop thinking, what if it were me in that ditch? We Samaritans know the law. We have a good religion too. But if I am ever asked to choose between my religion and my neighbor, I'll choose my neighbor every time. So I embraced him, and he wrapped his trembling, tortured arms around me. The lawyer wanted to be justified by keeping the letter of the law, but the only law that could possibly justify was the law of love, and by ourselves we cannot keep that law. We cannot love God enough to justify ourselves or our neighbor as enough to justify ourselves. But when the Spirit of Christ enters into your guts and your heart and causes them to dissolve into a puddle of compassion for your friend or your neighbor or your stranger or even an enemy, you will be justified and you will be moved to action. And there will never be a question about having to choose between your religion and loving your neighbor, because guess what? Your religion will be loving your neighbor, nothing more and nothing less. They will be one and the same thing. If our worship and our Bible study and our song and our prayer and our meditation don't lead us out into the world to love our neighbor, then they are false, blasphemous, detestable idolatries. And if we still ask the question, who is my neighbor, hoping that we can figure out who is not my neighbor, who I don't need to love, then the Spirit of Christ is not alive in us. If we try to love God any other way than loving and serving our neighbor and seeing Christ in the face of the naked, bloody, half-dead man lying in the ditch, we're on a dangerous path. God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does. We read in 1 John, those who say, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters, all siblings also. And so, dear ones, for the compassion that you do not yet have in your heart, ask, and it will be given to you. And for the compassion that is already inside of you, give thanks and praise to God, because it is not your own doing. It is a holy gift, and it is meant for sharing. Love God, love your neighbor. Go and do these things, and you shall live. Amen. I invite you to rise.
The hymn is Before the Waters Nourish Earth is on your board.
Need a bulletin.
For the planet and those who inhabit it, let us open our hearts in prayer, saying, God beyond us and beside us,
hear us when we call.
Maker and lover, hear our prayers for creation. Mm-hmm. maker and lover, heal and surprise. Preserve the waters, quench dry earth. After the wildfire, begin again. God beyond us and beside us.
Hear us when we call.
Faithful friend, hear our prayers for this village. Faithful friend, encourage and delight. Bless this community, strengthen its labors, braid its life with the Colville and Yakima nations. God beyond us and beside us.
Hear us when we call.
Breath of life, hear our prayers for the world. Breath of life, refresh and renew. Defend displaced peoples, strengthen immigrants, watch over workers of every shift. God beyond us and beside us.
Hear us when we call.
Rest for the weary, hear our prayers for healing. Rest for the weary, shelter and sustain. Ease labored breathing, soothe suffering minds, alleviate chronic pain. God beyond us and beside us, hear us when we call. Heartbeat of creation, hear our grateful prayer. Heartbeat of creation, thanks and praise for bodies vulnerable and resilient, for ancestors known and yet to know, for this week and these traveling companions. God beyond us and beside us, hear us when we call. Hear us, come near us, and guide us, O God, into the way of peace, alongside Jesus Christ, in whose spirit we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There are many ways of sharing peace, and before we do so, we want to acknowledge that we are all in different places of comfort. Be thoughtful of your own boundaries and those of your neighbors. You may choose to place your hands over your heart as a sign that you do not wish to be touched. If you do so, you can bow to someone as you are sharing the peace. You can also open your arms to go in for a hug. They can then respond in kind. May God's peace, good fortune, and health be with you all.
Until we meet.
Let us share the peace.
Okay. God's peace be with you. God's peace. Peace be with you. God's peace be with you. Peace be with you. God's peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. God's peace be with you and with you. Peace be with you, Lori. Thank you. God's peace. God's peace be with you. Shalom. Yeah. God's peace be with you. Peace be with you. God's peace. God's peace. Some of you know that the service of Eucharist we are celebrating tonight is having its inauguration, its debut. This is the first time that this liturgy has ever been used anywhere in the world. There are some other firsts happening. This is the first time I've cast water inside of this building, and I'll let you know that the volume was a little higher than I anticipated, so please watch for slick spots on the floor. And we'll try and adjust the volume of that water distribution for next week. There is another new thing that's happening tonight. You have a new pastor in the village, and everyone serving communion tonight, with the exception of Wild Rose, who I hope is here, is also serving communion in the village for the first time. So our gratitude to the sacristans and to our communion servers. If Wild Rose does not appear, would somebody please come up and serve the gluten wafers? Jesus gives himself to us and to everyone in these gifts of wine and bread. The feast is prepared for you. Wafers are available, and they will be the first selection for people who do not eat gluten. There is bread after the wafers. Kristen will be holding a chalice for intinction if you choose to intinct in wine. There is another option, which is picking up lovely small potted cups and having wine or juice poured for you by a communion server. The wine is in the larger pitcher, and the juice is in the smaller pitcher. You are invited this week to come forward by section, east to west, front to back, in general as possible, from the center to the back. And we would invite you to sanitize your hands before you receive the elements. And if we bump into each other a little bit, God still shows up. The Sanctus, or Holy, 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 for today's liturgy is ELW, hymn number 525. So I advise you to have your hymnals open at this point. If you are on the west side of the sanctuary, please sing verses 1, then 1 again, and then 2. And if you're on this side of the sanctuary, please sing verses 1 and then 2 and then 1. And if you don't remember these instructions, join the melody somewhere and offer your praise to the one who is holy and holy and holy. Open your backpacks. It is time to come to the table. Pull out the naan, the pita, the corn tortilla, bring out the challah bread and the pão de queijo. Laughter erupts, new flavors fill our mouths. Receive the invitation of Jesus, the host of this meal. Pull up a seat. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise is our joy and thanks is our path. Led by your Spirit, all-loving God, we make the road by your grace alone in Jesus Christ, our ancestor before us, our healer beside us, compassionate stranger on the road ahead. And so we join the everlasting song, blending our voices with the woman at the well, the Samaritan traveler, and all the faithful multitudes singing.
raised from soil, raised from dead. You are holy. God of the journey, all glory is yours. Sun, moon, and stars guide the way to your praise. Rivers and mountains, oceans and prairies, earth's many pathways rejoice in your love. Among your creatures, you called forth our ancestors, nomads and rooted ones. Bless your faithfulness. When ruthless armies exiled your people, your heart wept. Your presence sustained. When a mighty empire resettled Samaria, your arms opened, your covenant grew. Kingdoms rise, dominions fall, but your reign of peace will have no end. In an occupied land, your spirit soared. On highways, Christ Jesus proclaimed your reign. In Samaria, he offered living water. In the borderlands, he healed and affirmed. From Galilee to Jerusalem, he shared bread and grace. On the night before his execution, Jesus gathered his friends to celebrate the feast, their people's freedom. He took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this and remember me." Again, after supper, Jesus took a cup of wine and gave thanks to you, O God, and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this and remember me." For meals and for mercy, for wholeness and hope, for the life of the Savior, we glorify you. Help us, we pray, to live out the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Among these travelers, upon this feast, breathe your spirit, bestow your life, strengthen us with this food and drink, accompany us on the journeys ahead. In each encounter, each risky embrace, fill us with courage and wisdom and trust. One in the Spirit, nourished in Christ, praise yields to wonder and thanks, O God. You in the wilderness making a way, you on the lonely road, our help and our friend. Over our wounds, your blessing and balm. So let the travelers say, Amen. With the disciples on the road, let us join together in praying as Jesus taught us, saying, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, holy and blessed is your true name. We pray for your reign of peace to come. We pray that your good will be done. Let heaven and earth become one. Give us this day the bread we need. Give it to those who have none. Let forgiveness flow like a river between us. From each one to each one, lead us to holy innocence, beyond the evil of our days. Come swiftly, Mother, Father, come. For yours is the power and the glory and the mercy. Forever is your name, all in one. Amen. Before you the great banquet, among you the bread of life to share with all. No longer strangers, we feast as companions along the way. Come to the table, for all is ready for you.
Thank you.
As we have received the body of Christ, may we become the body of Christ.
Blessing. Please bring strange things. Please come bringing new things. Let very old things come into your hands. Let what you do not know come into your eyes. Let desert sand harden your feet. Let the arch of your feet be the mountains. Let the paths of your fingertips be the maps, and the ways you go be the lines on your palms. Let there be deep snow in your inbreathing, and your outbreath be the shining of ice. May your mouth contain the shapes of strange words. May you smell food cooking you have not eaten. May the spring of a foreign river be your navel. May your soul be at home where there are no houses. Walk carefully, well-loved one. Walk mindfully, well-loved one. Walk fearlessly, well-loved one. Return with us, return to us. Be always coming home. Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.